Okay, good morning everybody and a good and kvittel. Today's daf is Beitza daf Chav Zayin. We left off in daf Chav Vav Amid Beis. We are at the last line of the page on Chav Vav Amid Beis. Amar Rabbi Zeira Tashma. Today's shiur, today's abbreviated shiur, is sponsored by Dr. David Lander in honor of his wife and children. It's also sponsored by Eitan Gavrin, the Refuah Shleima, for his father, Barry Gavrin, Baruch Ben Miriam, who's in the ICU in critical condition. He should have Refuah Shleima B'soch Shar Chole Yisrael. Also by Karen and Marky Benson, commemorating the outside of Mark's grandmother, Pauline Benson, Peril Bas Baruch Chaim HaKohen, Allah Shalom, whose 9th yahrzeit is tomorrow on Shmini Atzeres, the 22nd of Tishrei. Also by Mr. Joey Hosni Le'ilu Nishmas, Ovadia Ben Adel, Avram Ben Rivka, and Ezra Ben Balisa, the Neshama Shrav and Aliyah. We thank all of the sponsors very, very much for the sponsorship. So the first thing we're going to do is we're going to finish up the sugya of Muktza L'chatzi Shabbos. We had the Shaila yesterday. If something becomes Muktza, sometime in middle of Shabbos it becomes unusable, and then it becomes usable again. Do we assume that since at some point on Shabbos it was unusable, it now has to remain Muktza for the remainder of Shabbos? Or do we say, no, that's only a din in Bein HaShmashos. If something is Muktza Bein HaShmashos, is Muktza the rest of Shabbos. But in the middle of Shabbos, it's not going to cause it to be Muktza for the remainder of Shabbos. So we had two Rayas yesterday. We're going to have one more Raya today. Then the Gemara is going to go back to the issue of being Roe Mumin on Yom Tov. We had a Machlokas Tanayim, whether you're allowed a Paskin on a Mum on Yom Tov, and we're going to try to discover how we paskin in that machlokas tanaim about being roe mumin be yom tov. And then the Gemara is going to mention that not only is it usher to be matil mum in a bechor, not only can a kohen not go over to a bechor and clip its ear or something like that to be matil mum and therefore make it mutter for him, but even gram hatolas mum, even if he does something where indirectly he causes the animal to be matil mum ba'atzmo, he puts a little dough on the animal's ear and then exposes it to another animal, jumps and bites the dough off of the ear, something like that, a gram atolas mum is also going to be asked. Then the Mishnah, the first Mishnah on Amud Beis, discusses the muktza status of an animal that dies on Yom Tov itself. And the Gemara is going to discuss whether the Mishnah is following Rabbi Shimon's more limited view, definition of muktza, or Rabbi Yehuda, who has a more expanded definition of muktza. And now that discussion takes us all the way to the second Mishnah on Amud Beis, which we're probably not going to get to today. So let's begin the last line of the page on Daf Chav Vav Amud Beis. So again, Muktza L'Chatzi Shabbos, we're trying to bring Rayas, whether there is or is not Muktza L'Chatzi Shabbos. If something becomes unusable in middle of Shabbos, does that mean that it remains Muktza for the rest of Shabbos? Some Rabbi Zeira Tashma, I'll bring you a Raya, not from a Mishnah, not from a Braisa, just from simply Maisim B'chol Yom, Jewish practice, what everybody does. Mipulin V'Adoshin, from how people bake or cook beans and lentils on Yom Tov. How are they allowed to do that? Because when you're cooking on Yom Tov, at some point in the middle of the cooking process, the food becomes unusable. Then it becomes usable again at the end of the cooking process. Originally, before you start cooking them, you could chew on them raw, they're usable, but then you put them in a pot to cook and they become unusable because they boil up, they become so hot, you wouldn't be able to put them in your tongue. They would burn up your tongue. So itchulu, they become nidcha. But then gomer bishalayu chazuluchu. But then the cooking process concludes and they become ra'oi again. They become ra'oi la'achila. So we don't assume that just because in the middle of the cooking process they were nidcha, so that's it. Now they're nidcha legamri and you're not able to use them. That muktza l'chatzi Shabbos. No, even though they became unusable on Shabbos, on Yom Tov, we assume that they don't remain muktza for the remainder of Yom Tov. So that's the raya. So I'm le'abaya. Abaya responds, l'tameich, tikshilach kederos the alma. Why don't you ask the same question about a regular kederos when you prepare food before Shabbos and you can eat that food Friday night? So what do? You have the food cooking right before Shabbos, and then right before Shabbos starts, you take the food off of the fire so that it will still be somewhat warm by the time it comes to the Friday night meal. But that first moment that you take it off of the fire, it's still boiling hot. And that's Bein HaShmashos. So if you're going to call that something that's unusable, you're going to call something that's boiling hot unusable, then every food that we prepare for Shabbos should be muktzah, because in Ben HaShemashos it's boiling hot. So Stam Kederis the Alma Ben HaShemashos, Rabbi Chosein, normally you have a pot that's boiling on Ben HaShemashos, Uliyor Tachlin Minayu, and then later that night we don't have a problem eating from it. But according to Rabbi Zera, that shouldn't be muktzah, because all the Kederis become muktzah Ben HaShemashos because they're so hot, and everyone agrees that something that's muktzah Ben HaShemashos is muktzah for the rest of Shabbos. That when something is unusable in middle of Yontif, but it's something that you know it's within your control to fix, like something that's very hot, just take it off the fire and you know that it won't be so hot for so much longer. So that there's no shaila. That is not going to be muktzah l'chatzi Shabbos. We're not going to call that idcha. We're not going to call that something that is not usable, because it is usable. You just have to set it up in a way where it's going to be usable. The whole shaila was, what if it's not in your hands? What if it's only up to the Ribono Shel Olam? You put grogros etzimok and you put fruits to dry on your roof, and then it rained. Now the rain ruined it, that it made it unusable, and the only way to fix that is to wait for the sunlight, because that's the only way to really fix those peros. So that waits for the Ribono Shel Olam. That's not up to us. And if the Ribono Shalom doesn't bring sunlight, then he's just going to cause it to rain more, then you're going to be in trouble. It's not going to be ra'ui. So when it's not gamru b'dei adam, that was the whole shailin. You can't bring a raya from the case of cooking polen v'adashim, because that's gamru b'dei adam, not gamru b'dei shemayim. Good, so that is the third raya that also does not, it proves inconclusive on this shaila of muksa l'chatzi Shabbos. So now the Gemara revisits, goes back to the issue of paskening on a mum on Yom Tov. Rabbi Yudah Nasiya, the grandson of Rabbi Yudah Nasi. Nasiya, of course, means Hanasi, but in order to distinguish grandson from grandfather, we always refer to the grandson as Nasiya, whereas the grandfather we refer to as Hanasi, or Rabbeinu HaKadosh, or Rabbi. So Rabbi Yudah Nasiya, his grandson, Havleahu Bukhra, Rabbi Yudah Nasiya had a certain Bukhar that was a Baal Mum, and he wanted a Shachter on Yom Tov, but he needed to get a Psak first that it was a Mum Kavua. So Shadil Kamed Rabbi Ami, he sent it to Rabbi Ami to pask it on the Mum. Now Rabbi Yudah Nasiya himself was quite a Talmud Chacham, Mistama, he could have figured out whether it was a Mum Kavua or not, but there is a halacha that Kol B'choros Adam Ro, Chutz Mi B'choros Atzmo. Now Mishnah Maseches Negoyim tells us, in the context of Kol Negoyim Adam Ro, Chutz Mi Negei Atzmo, that just like you're not allowed to paskin on your own Negoyim, on your own Maritz Haras, so too you're not allowed to paskin on your own Bechor. There's a question whether a Chacham is allowed to paskin on his wife's Nidashailas, right? Do we say that that there's a limitation, because you're not allowed to, you're going to be biased. So that's what the Rash Mishans on the side of the Mishnayos over there in Maseches Negoyim says, that it depends whether she's Becheskas Isser or Becheskas Heter. That when a woman is Becheskas Heter, then he can pass him, because he's not trying to change the Chazak, he's just trying to maintain the status quo. But when she's Becheskas Isser and the Shaila comes up, so then he's not allowed to pass. So like a Hefsek Tara, where she's Becheskas Isser, so he's not allowed to pass him because he's trying to change her status. The Shaila is, what about during the Shivanikim? What do you call that? She's becheskas that she's no longer seeing dam, because she already had a hefsek tara, but she's still becheskas iser until she actually goes to the mikveh. So how do we define that? But anyway, a person's not allowed to paskin for himself. So Rabbi Nasiya wasn't going to paskin for himself, so he sent it to Rabbi Ami. Rabbi Ami happened to have been a kohen, and Shita Mugvetzis points out, even though generally a kohen should not be paskining on mumin, but if he's an extraordinary talmid chacham, then we allow even a kohen to paskin on mumin. So that's why they trusted Rabbi Ami. So Sabrul Al Machsi, Rabbi Ami said he didn't want to paskin it. He doesn't paskin on mumin on Yom Tov. Amalei Rabbi Zreikas. Rabbi Zreikas said, Vitem Rabbi Yirmiyah. Some say it was Rabbi Yirmiyah that said to Rabbi Ami, what do you mean, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon, halacha, Rabbi Yehuda? Whenever you have machlokas, Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon, we paskin like Rabbi Yehuda. And on Daf Chavav, we had a machlokas, Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon, whether you're allowed to paskin on mumin on Yom Tov. So we should paskin like Rabbi Yehuda, that you are allowed to paskin. So why the hesitance to paskin? So Hadar Shadre lekamed Rabbi Yitzchak Nafcha. Once Rabbi Ami wasn't paskining on it, so they sent it instead to Rabbi Yitzchak Nafcha. Maybe he would paskin on it. So Rabbi Yitzchak Nafcha also didn't want to paskin on it. I'm not sure why their names are reversed in the case of Rabbi Yitzchak Nafcha, but Rabbi Yirmiyah or Rabbi Zreika said to him, Rabbi Yudah, Rabbi Shimon, Allah, Rabbi Yudah, I don't understand. It's a machlok, Rabbi Yudah, Rabbi Shimon. Generally, the rule is we paskin like Rabbi Yudah against Rabbi Shimon. You should have no problem paskining on such a mum. So Rabbi Abba said to Rabbi Zreika, my time of Lush of Kati, Dinu Rabbanan Lemevelov to Rabbi Shimon. Why were you so bothered that Rabbi Ami and Rabbi Yitzchak Nafcha wanted to follow the Shita of Rabbi Shimon and not the Shita of Rabbi Yehuda? Why don't you leave them alone and let them follow the Shita of Rabbi Shimon? Rabbi Shimon may be the more authoritative Shita over here. So Amalei, Rabbi Zreka says, Rabbi Abba, Va'at Ma Biyadach. Well, you obviously have something in mind, meaning you know the rule is we normally pass like Rabbi Yehuda. If you think that I was off base in telling them that we should paskin like Rabbi Yehuda, so you must have some sort of tradition that tells you that we're supposed to paskin like Rabbi Shimon over here. So what do you got? Samalei, Rabbi Abba said, Hachi Amar Rabbi Zera. Rabbi Zera once told us that halacha k'Rabbi Shimon. Then on this matter, we pass like Rabbi Shimon, that we don't look at Mumin on Yom Tov. Amar Manduhu, so one of the Talmidim who was present said, Aski v'asik lahasam, I should be so fortunate that I should be able to go to Eretz Yisrael, where Rabbi Zera is there, v'agam l'shmaitim mipume demara, and I should be able to hear it straight from Rabbi Zera. Does Rabbi Zera really say that we paskin like Rabbi Shimon and that you're not supposed to paskin on a mum on Yom Tov? I'd like to hear it straight from Morris's mouth. I'd like to hear it straight from Rabbi Zera. So Kisal Klaasa, when that Talmud went to Eretz Yisrael, Ashkechel Rabbi Zera, he saw Rabbi Zera, Samalei, Amar Mara Lach Rabbi Shimon, here's his chance. He said, no, do you say that we paskin like Rabbi Shimon? Amalei, lo, and a mistaver amri. I didn't say halacha k'Rabbi Shimon. I said that it's mistaver that it would be like Rabbi Shimon, that the halacha would be like Rabbi Shimon. I didn't say anything like definitive and final. I just thought that it makes sense that we should say like Rabbi Shimon. Why? Midiktani b'masnis in Rabbi Shimon omer kol shein mumunikim ribo diomein zemin amuchan. Because in the Mishnah, it's Rabbi Shimon who's reported as saying that anything that's not, anytime the mum is not nikim ribo diom, it's considered muksa, you're not allowed to paskin on it on Yom Tov, v'katani la b'braisa, and then that same din is taught again in the Braisa, but in the Braisa, it doesn't quote it as Rabbi Shimon, it's b'lashon chachamim. The Braisa quotes that same Shita as a chachamim, as if to say that it's the majority opinion. So shema mina, mistaver, kavase, so that makes it very mistaver that we paskin like Rabbi Shimon, if when the Braisa says over the Shita of Rabbi Shimon, the Braisa does so b'lashon chachamim, as if it's the chachamim talking. So it makes a lot of sense then that we paskin like Rabbi Shimon. So my haviyala. So what are we paskin? Do we paskin like Rabbi Yehuda? Do we paskin like Rabbi Shimon? Are you allowed to look at these mumin on Yom Tov or not? Amar Rav Yosef Tashma, the Talia Ba'ashli Rav Ravi. This is Talui in a major discussion of big people. It's Talui in tremendous chachamim where as follows. Amar Rabbi Shimon ben Pazi, Amar Rabbi Shua ben Levi, Amar Rabbi Yossi ben Shaul, Amar Rabbi Mishum Kala Kaddisha to be Yerushalayim. They said in the name of the Kala Kaddisha to be Yerushalayim that Rabbi Shimon, the Chaver of Amru, Rabbi Shimon over here referring to Rabbi Shimon ben Manasseh, and his Chaverim say, Halacha k'Rabbi Meir, on a different matter, that they paskin in Machlokas Rabbi Meir about shechting a Bukhar before you ever show it to a Chacham, they paskin like Rabbi Meir. So Rabbi Yosef is going to explain what the Kala Kaddisha to be Yerushalayim is trying to express to us. Are they saying that Halacha is like Rabbi Meir, not like Rabbi Yehuda, that even Rabbi Shimon and Chaverav paskin this way? So Amru, did the Kala Kaddisha of Yerushalayim say that, something like that? Va'inu kashisha minei tuva. It doesn't make sense that the Kala Kaddisha of Yerushalayim is reporting what Rabbi Shimon ben Manasseh said, because Rabbi Shimon ben Manasseh was younger than the Kala Kaddisha of Yerushalayim. They wouldn't be quoting Rabbi Shimon ben Manasseh. Ela b'shitas Rabbi Meir Amruha. No, what the Kala Kaddisha was saying was that when Rabbi Shimon ben Manasseh and Chaverav paskin like Rabbi Meir, so they were following the sheet of Rabbi Meir. Meaning, when they said something else, the Kala Kaddisha of Yerushalayim was associating what Rabbi Shimon ben Manasseh said with the sheet of Rabbi Meir, but they didn't say directly halacha k'Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Shimon ben Manasseh v'chaverav didn't say directly halacha k'Rabbi Meir. You know what Rabbi Shimon ben Manasseh v'chaverav said? They said that a different halacha. They said that you're not allowed to row a mumin b'yom tov, nothing to do with Rabbi Meir Rabbi Yehuda. They discussed our topic. They said that you're not allowed to paskin on a mumin yom tov. The Kala Kaddisha of Yerushalayim said, oh, that's just like Rabbi Meir to say that you're not allowed to paskin mumin on yom tov. What's the story with Rabbi Meir? What did Rabbi Meir say that has anything to do with being row a mumin on yom tov? So now Rabbi Yosef explains what the Kala Kaddisha meant. How does Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Meir line up with each other? Titznan, because there is a Mishnah Maseches Bechoros as follows. Hashochet is a Bechor. A person shechs the Bechor on a weekday, v'ach karcheres mumo, and then after he shechs the bechor, he first shows the mum to Chacham, and the Chacham paskins that it's a mum kavua. So Rabbi Yehuda mati, Rabbi Yehuda says, okay, so it's a mum kavua, so now you're allowed to eat it. You shouldn't have shechted it before having a Chacham paskin on it, but now you know it's a mum kavua, so you can go ahead and eat it. But Rav Meir Omer, hol v'nishcha shalal pi mumcha, aser. Since they shechted it without the psak of a mumcha, they're not allowed to eat it, because even though the mumcha later said that it's a mum kavua, at the time that they shechted it, they didn't know that it was a mum kavua, they're not allowed to eat it. Alma kasev Rav Meir, ri'yas b'char, lav ki ri'yas trefa, ri'yas b'char mechayim, ri'yas trefa lachar shechita. It sounds like seeing a b'char is not just a determining a matter of metzius. You know, you're checking if an animal is a trefa, that you do after the animal dies. You just need to know, is it a trefa, is it not a trefa? So you can determine that after the animal dies. Sounds like ri'yas b'char is more like being done as hadin, that it's a matter of making a definitive statement and not only clarifying a metzius. Umina, so based on that, says the Kala Kaddish of Yerushalayim, from Rabbi Meir, distinguishing between a regular psak and ri'yas b'char, you see that ri'yas trefa, afilu b'yom tov, that when it comes to a psak that's just determining metzius, what is it? Is it a trefa? Is it not a trefa? So that you could do even on yom tov. But ri'yas b'char, but to paskin on a b'char, which is completely tali on the hora'ah of the chacham, and is not tali on the metzius, that's me'er of yom tov. You can't do that on yom tov. That's like being done as hadin on yom tov. That has to be done on erev yom tov. So where Rabbi Shimon ben Manasseh says that we paskin that you're not allowed to see a mum on yom tov, you're not allowed to paskin a mum on yom tov, the Kala Kaddish of Yerushalayim says that's just like Rabbi Meir. Just like Rabbi Meir said that if you shecht an animal and then show the mum to a chacham, that it's not going to be valid. Why is it not valid? Because the animal's not kosher until the chacham declares it so. It's not a matter of metzius. It's a matter of the declaration of the chacham. So you see that declaration of the chacham is significant. That's like being done as hadin. And therefore, memela, you're not allowed to do that on Yom Tov. You're not allowed to have the declaration of the chacham on Yom Tov. So the two are Allah b'kana echad. They're saying exactly the same thing. So now that which Rav Yosef said, the Talia ba'asher avrvi, means the Kala Kaddisha, that according to the Kala Kaddisha, Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai, who says, ein ro'en mum b'yom tov, and Rav Meir, who says that if you shecht, and then you show it to the mum to the chacham after you shecht, that it's going to be aser, are both saying the same shita. And Rabbi Yehuda, who disagrees in both places, is a das yachid. Now you know that Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Shimon are against Rabbi Yehuda. So even though generally the rule is that Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon, the halacha is going to be like Rabbi Yehuda, based on what the Kala Kaddish of Yerushalayim just told us, it's not Rabbi Yehuda against Rabbi Shimon. It's Rabbi Meir. It's Rabbi Yehuda against Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Meir. So now halacha karabim and not kiyachid, and that's why we should paskin like Rabbi Shimon. That's why the Rabbi Ami and Rabbi Yitzchak Nafcha were permitted to paskin like Rabbi Shimon and not to follow shitas Rabbi Yehuda. So Amalei Abayi said to Rabbi Yosef, Atu Hasam Peron Mum Pligi. You think that's what the machlokes of Meir Rabbi Yehuda is about? It's about the nature of being roe mum. Nah, beknasa pligi. They're just arguing whether we should make a knas on the person for doing something so improper to shecht the animal and then first show it to the chacham. So it's all about just a knas midrabanan. It's not about the very nature of the psak of the chacham when he sees the mum. Rabbi Yochanan says the name of Rabbi Yochanan about this machlokas Rabbi Dura Meir. Bedukin shabayin kuliyam lo pligi da aser mishum demishtanin. When it comes to paskening on a cataract in the eye, that type of mum, everyone agrees that you can't pasken after the animal's dead because it looks different after it dies than it looked while it was alive. Ki pligi b'mum shabaguf. They only argue about a bodily mum, like cutting the clip of the ear or breaking of the arm or something like, of the leg of the animal. Rav Meir savar gazrin and mum shabaguf atu mum shabayin. Rav Meir says we make a gzera that since he shechted it, we make a knas, even though there's nothing wrong, you know for sure it's a mum kavua, even after the animal died, but we're afraid that if we start being matir in the mum and after the animal died, people will be matir even duket shaba'ayin after the animal died, even a cataract, which is going to change, and you certainly can paskin after the animal died. A gzera, knas. For Rabbi Yehuda savar lo gazrin, Rabbi Yehuda says we don't make a gzera. So it's not really, the Kala Kaddish of Yerushalayim is incorrect to associate the sheet of Rabbi Meir together with the sheet of Rabbi Shimon. They're two totally separate issues. The sheet of Rabbi Meir is about a knas midrabanan. It's not about the fundamental nature of paskening a mum. Amar of Nachmar Yitzchak Masis and Nami Daika. The Lashon and the Mishnah Becharos is meduyak like Abaye, that it's all about a knas. The Ketani Rabbi Meir Omer, Hol v'nishcha shalal pimumcha aser. Says, oh, you know why it's aser? Because you did the wrong thing. That sounds like a lashon of knas. Shemamina knasu the kakanis. Shemamina, and therefore it turns out the whole machlokas has nothing to do with Rabbi Shimon's psak about not seeing the mum on Yom Tov. It's got nothing to do with Rabbi Meir, and therefore you cannot derive from there that we're going to paskin like Rabbi Shimon that it's two shitos against that of Rabbi Yehuda. So now the Gemara brings another maisa relating to paskining mum on Yom Tov. Ami Vardina'a, Ami, who was from a place called Vardina, Chazi Bukhra de Benesiyahava, he was the one who would paskin all the mumin of the Bukharos of the Nasi. But on Yom Tov, he wouldn't paskin. So Asr Amrle the Rabbi Ami, they told the Rabbi Ami, the minug of this Chacham, Amrlu, Rabbi Ami said, Shabar Kavad lo Chazi, he's doing right by not looking at mumin on Yom Tov. So says Mara, Eini, could it be that Rabbi Ami said such a thing? For Rabbi Ami Gufei Chazi, Rabbi Ami himself used to paskin mumin on Yom Tov. So was he so complimentary about someone who refrains from paskining mumin on Yom Tov? So says Rabbi Ami ki chazi me'etmal have a chazi. No. What Rabbi Ami would do was that he would look at it before Yom Tov. He would stop short of making any declaration before Yom Tov, but he would actually see it before Yom Tov, determine that it's a mum kavua before Yom Tov. The only thing is, there's a technicality. Not only do you have to see that it's a mum kavua, you then have to verify with the kohen that he wasn't matil that mum, that he didn't do it. So he didn't always have time to have that conversation in advance of Yom Tov. So he'd look at the mum before Yom Tov, and then after shul on Yom Tov night or something, he'd go over to the kohen and say, by the way, did you clip your own animal? Did you clip the animals here? And the kohen would say, no. He'd say, okay, good. So now I can paskin. Now I can give the official declaration. So that he was allowed to do, because he would look at it before Yom Tov. Yom Tov, shul k'mishayil, hechi avuvda. On Yom Tov itself, he'd ask the kohen, nu, what happened over here? So kiyadu gavra, just like the story of that guy, da'isi bukhul kamei de Rava, who brought a Bukhar that had a mum to Rava, a panya demali yom tov, and it was erev yom tov, a daf yomi coincidence. It was right before the chag, and everyone was busy rushing into yom tov. Haviyas Rava chayef reshe. Rava was busy and he was washing his hair before yom tov. Dal einein, he lifted up. He said, they're bringing him a mum. He's just getting out of the shower, going into the shower, and they're bringing him mum shayla, and he's busy, so he just quickly takes a peek. V'chazi l'mume, and he sees the mum, and he doesn't say anything. He doesn't give an official psak. So amalei zili. He says, you know what? I'm going into the shower now. Leave now. Come back tomorrow for my psak. I saw what I need to see. When the kohen came the next day, Amar hechi avuvda. Rava said, "There's just one question I have to ask you. What happened over here? Were you matil this mum?" So he said, "No. Here's what happened. Havashad and sorry b'hachisa duhutza. On one side of like a thorny fence, there was animal fodder. Vaveiu b'idachisa, and there was an animal on the other side of the thorny fence. So naturally, what the animal's going to do is going to try to reach through the thorns in order to reach the food. Badi d'vay l'meichal ayil reishir patiutzi l'svase. So as the animal's trying to stick his head through the thorns to get to access the food, a thorn cut the animal's lip, and that's how he has a mum. Amalei dilma atgaram talei. So he said, how do I know that's what happened? Maybe you set it up that way. You put the food on the other side of the fence, and the animal there is just so that you could create the mum. Amalei lo. He said, no, it was an accident. I didn't do that. I had no kavana. I didn't set it up. It's not even a grama. I didn't. So okay, good. So if you weren't even gorim, then it's going to be mutter. Says Mar, wow. So you see from there, not only can a Kohen not go over to an animal and just clip its ear or clip its lip or something like that, he's not even allowed to do grama. He's not even allowed to indirectly. So minatema de grama aser. How do you know that even the gram of being matil mum is aser? Detanya, because the brisa darshan's a pasuk. Mum lo yiyabo. Ainly el shelo yiyabo mum. I would only know that you can't be matil mum. Minayin shelo yigrom lo alide davar acher. How do I know that you're not even allowed to be gore mumum? Shelo yavi batzak or tevei lo vianiach lo al gabe ozen. That don't put a piece of dough or some other delicious food on the animal's ear and then send a dog after it, where the dog is clearly going to jump on the animal, try to bite off the food from its ear, and it's going to cause a mum. How do I know you're not allowed to even set up such a situation? Tamal Omar, kol mum. Omar mum, v'omar kol mum. Not only are you not allowed to be matil mum, you're not allowed to set up a situation of a gram hatalas mum, and that's what we say, kol mum. Okay, new mission now. Says the mission, behema shemesa, lo yizizenemi mekoma. If a behema dies on Yom Tov, It's a nevela, so it's muksa. There's nothing you could do with it. It's royal klavim. You could feed it to dogs. But while it was alive, you were hoping to be able to shecht it. So you didn't have in mind that you wanted it to be dog food. You had in mind that you wanted it to be human food while it was alive. So now it's muksa. Umaisa v'shalos Rabbi Tarfon alei. Once time a story happened, they asked Rabbi Tarfon about a behema that died on Yom Tov. Ve'ala chala shenitmeis. And similarly, they asked him about chala that became tameh. Chala as a din of truma and it became tameh. And they came to the Beis Medrash and they asked the Shail to the Cham v'amru lo yazizum mimukamim. They said that you're not allowed to move it from its place because of the yisum muksa that they have. The behema the behema that died has an yisum muksa, and the chala that became tameh is not roi for a kohen on Yom Tov at all because he's not allowed to eat it. It's like truma shenitmeis. He can't be masika tachas tavshilo or give it to his dog, because you're not allowed to do that with kachim tameim or truma tameya. You have to so it's mutsa. There's no use for it. So now the Gemara explains who is the author of our Mishnah. Lema tznan stama delo Rabbi Shimon. It seems that our Mishnah is going against the shita of Rabbi Shimon. Titanya Rabbi Shimon Omer mechad chenes adluin lefnei behema. Rabbi Shimon holds you're allowed to cut up gourds to feed in front of an animal on Yom Tov so that it can eat it. It's not going to be that's not considered. And you're allowed to cut up nevela to feed it to dogs on Shabbos as well, even though Ben Ashmashos it wasn't mucham leklavim. You see, according to Rabbi Shimon, it's not mukta. Rabbi Yudah says no. If it wasn't a nevela on erev Shabbos, just died on Shabbos, then it's going to be aser. So you see clearly, Rabbi Shimon holds. Don't worry, you have a nevela. It's not mukta. You could feed it to a dog on Shabbos or Yom Tov. It's not a problem. And yet our Mishnah said that a behema shemesa lo yasizan mimakoma, you're not allowed to touch it. It's muktzah. So it seems very clear that our Mishnah is against Rabbi Shimon. Says Mar, no, afilu tamer Rabbi Shimon, mod Rabbi Shimon vebalechayim shemesu shasurin. Now our Mishnah could even be going like Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon is mod that if you had an animal that was perfectly healthy ben hashmashos, so clearly your plan was to be able to eat it yourself, and then it died suddenly out of nowhere on Yom Tov. Rabbi Shimon would be mod that would be muktzah. When Rabbi Shimon's talking about feeding a nevela, that's talking about you knew the animal was going to be a nevela. It was sickly, it was dying, so you knew it was going to be a nevela. That's when you could feed the nevela to. So it says, Marhani Chalamar Barameimar Mishmei Derava Dam Modai Rabbi Shimon Bebali Chaim Shemesu Shasur and Shapir. This works very well if you assume that Rabbi Shimon agrees that Bali Chaim that were perfectly healthy and then just suddenly died, that they're going to be usher because you clearly had no intention to feed them to a dog. So then Shapir, then I understand. And very well that our Mishnah could even be going like Rabbi Shimon. El Marbreid Rav Yosef Mishmei de Rava, but according to Marbreid Rav Yosef in the name of Rava, Damer Cholakai Rabbi Shimon Afilu Bebali Chaim Shemesu Shemutarim, who thinks that Rabbi Shimon would even hold that a healthy animal that just drops dead, even that's not mukta. So then, Ma'ikal the Meimer, then you have to say our Mishnah is against Rabbi Shimon. Meaning your whole answer to say how our Mishnah could even fit with Rabbi Shimon is say no, our Mishnah is talking about a healthy animal just dropped dead. But if you hold that Rabbi Shimon thinks even a healthy animal that just drops dead is not mukta, so then our Mishnah doesn't work with Rabbi Shimon. Says Marna, there's another way our Mishnah could work with Rabbi Shimon. Tirgum Ziri bebehemas kadshim. Maybe our Mishnah is talking about a behemas kadshim, that the halacha is there's nothing you could do with it on Yom Tov. You're not allowed to feed it to the dogs. So if it drops dead, so it's mukta. That even Rabbi Shimon is going to be modeh. Dekanami dekatani alev yalachal shnitmes. And the raya that our Mishnah is talking about a behemas kadshim is the Mishnah didn't just talk about a behema that dies. The Mishnah spoke about two cases, a behema and chala. Chala is kadosh, ma chala de kadisha, so it must be the behema that we're talking about, af behema de kadisha, must be a holy behema as well. So it must be that it's behema's kadshim. So says Gemara, but if that's the case, el time of the kadisha, so then you can make a diuk, that the only reason it's muktzah is because it's kadosh. Had the chulin sharia, but had it not been kadosh, if it was just a regular chulin animal, then it would be mutter, it would not be muktzah. So that's dafka going like Rabbi Shimon. So I understand very well if you assume that Rabbi Shimon disagrees even by Bali Chaim that were healthy and dropped dead. So now I understand that you could be medayik that a behema schulin that dies in Yom Tov is not mukta, because our Mishnah is going like Rabbi Shimon that a healthy animal that drops dead is not mukta. But if you assume that Rabbi Shimon would agree that a healthy animal that drops dead is mukta, Mitzvah. So how are you going to explain our Mishnah? Well, you wanted to say our Mishnah is talking about Behemoth Kachim. But then the diuk to make from our Mishnah is that had it been Chulin and it dropped dead, then it would not be Muktza. But what if you assume that Rabbi Shimon agrees that a Behemoth Chulin that drops dead is Muktza? So then our Mishnah doesn't fit with Rabbi Shimon either. So says Gemara, no, it's both. Our Mishnah could fit with Rabbi Shimon. It's talking about a behemas kachim that is also not healthy, that is also mesukenes. Then you can make the diuk. Oh, and had it not been kachim, had it been chulin, and misukenes, and also a deathly ill animal, yeah, then it would, and it drops dead, then it would be mutter, according to Rabbi Shimon, because in such a case, clearly you had in mind to be able to feed it to an animal the entire time. Okay, Be'ez Hashem, tomorrow we'll pick up at the Mishnah on the bottom of the page. Have a guten kvittel, everybody.
Guten kvittel.
Okay,
I'm going to go.